Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
What is this place?
Can you tell me your name?
I can't remember anything.
Who put us here? We don't know.
What's out there?
The maze. Every morning when those doors open, the runners look for a way out. No one has ever survived a night in the maze.
What happens to them?
We don't belong here.
I think it's time we find out what we're really up against.
Everything started changing the moment you showed up.
It's a girl.
Thomas.
Why are we different?
What if we were sent here for a reason?
You're not like the others. You're curious. But if you want to stay here, I need to know that you're going to follow the rules.
That is the trailer for the forthcoming movie, The Maze Runner. It's another one where we find teenage boys and girls. I guess we could still call them boys and girls. Teenagers pitted in dangerous battles, sometimes to the death, facing death on a regular basis in a dystopian future. Now, this is not a new theme in movies, especially popular movies nowadays. You can think of probably half of the movies put out are either comic book movies or movies of this nature, where kids, largely without any parental supervision or help, are battling for their lives in a future that is dark and depressing. What's up with that? Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review the movie, The Maze Runner. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Why do you think, as a consumer of movies, why do you think these kind of movies are so popular nowadays? Whether it's Harry Potter or Hunger Games or Ender's Game, we could probably count up 20 of them. Why do you think it is?
Maybe you read this book years ago in school. I know I did. It was called Lord of the Flies, and it's from 1954. And it's kind of set in, like, they don't really give you a time. It's sort of this, a nuclear war has happened, and all of these boys end up on an island. And I think that's one of the, like, modern stories that kicked off this kind of idea. And that one is truly, there's just only those boys on that island. And in your intro, you were mentioning that, you know, in the case of a lot of these movies, it's that they largely don't have a lot of adults around. And in all these movies, there are some adults, usually. And I think that it's kind of a fascinating thing, this idea of what do you do when you don't have access to society? And, of course, by taking a bunch of children and putting them together, then you kind of get this idea of, like, well, what kind of society would they make? You know, this is also kind of why people enjoy the TV show Survivor or that show Lost that was on TV. You know, so I think that's part of it, is when you age them younger, then it ramps up the mystery and also the fear element of it as well.
Okay, so it's a way of at least in telling the story that intensifies the highs and the lows of the story, so to speak. What's the plot here that we're looking at in The Maze Runner?
The Maze Runner, what you have is a boy shows up in a maze. He just plops up in the middle of it. He's on a little elevator. He comes out in the middle of this giant maze. There's already some other boys there. And really, at the beginning of the movie, you don't know much of anything. All of the characters suffer from a kind of amnesia. They don't remember anything from before getting to the maze. It's kind of a large green area called the Glade that they live in, and then these towering walls that completely surround them, and then past those walls is this maze. And during the day, they have runners who go into the maze to try to get out. But at night, the runners hopefully have come back, because no one goes into the maze at night because there's terrible things in the maze. They call them grievers, and they're kind of like giant spider, scorpion kind of things that, you know, attack people. So then the whole movie is about an unraveling mystery of why they're there, you know, why they can't remember anything, what's going on. And that's what you get, this kind of movie about this maze.
Okay, a couple things here. What are your thoughts on, and this is also not a new technique in the way a film tells a story, leaving everyone, including the main character, in the dark and having to find out what's going on? What do you make of that technique for storytelling?
I think it's kind of a neat one, because I myself hadn't read this book, and I knew very little going into the movie. I'd seen the trailer, and that's about it. So it's kind of fun every once in a while to see a movie where it's really actually a mystery unfolding, right? So that's kind of interesting, and because it's a whole different sci-fi kind of world, you're getting introduced to everything, because the main character needs to be introduced to everything, because he's brand new in that place, and he doesn't remember anything from his past. So in terms of storytelling, it's kind of a fun way to suck you into a new series. And this is intended to be the first of three movies, and they've already released a release date for the second one called The Scorched Trials, and that's going to be next September.
How would you, you've touched upon this briefly, but how would you describe the worldview of this movie?
I think that it's one where, you know, you've got these kids that are, and they're all boys. There's one girl who shows up eventually. But they kind of live in this world where they don't have a past. And they're unsure about the future. So they really focus in on the day, like living in the present. There's a fear of venturing too far out, and there's the path is impenetrable. So they're not particularly hedonists or something, but they are self-focused in the now. And that seems to be one of the main parts of that. I don't want to give too much else away, because there is kind of a bigger story unfolding. And this is actually something that's very normal for this kind of movie, because there's all of these movies. It's part of this young adult literature genre, and now it's a kind of a movie genre also. So Harry Potter, The Hunger Games, Ender's Game, Divergent, all of these movies are in the same kind of category. And one of the things that you have is, because it's focused on teenagers, is this sense of a developing identity and how they are being drawn into an adult world. They're transitioning from being a child into being an adult. And as that happens, they often, in most of these movies and books, discover that that adult world already pre-existed them, and they're just coming in midstream into the plot, as it were. So you kind of see some of that going on in this movie also.
You have some thoughts on the name of the main character, Thomas. What's the connection you would make there with about a minute and a half?
Well, here's the thing. You know, you got every name in the history of names, in the use of names in the world. You got any name you could possibly want to make up that a writer could use for their main character, but this James Dashner chooses Thomas. So as a Christian, you're watching the movie and you think to yourself, Thomas, do I know a Thomas? Yes, I do. That Thomas is from the Bible. That would be one of Jesus' disciples. One of his key traits as a character in this movie, this Thomas, is that he's skeptical. He's got some misgivings about everything going on, and he really wants to get out of this maze. He doesn't trust the whole way everything's set up. So that skeptical trait is something that people generally associate with Thomas. But then there's this other interesting thing. Thomas is also in John's gospel depicted as being very courageous. And when it looks like there's danger ahead and they're about to go to Jerusalem, he says to the other disciples, "Let us go, let us also go, that we may die with him," meaning Jesus. You know, so there's this courageous side to Thomas. And you see that in this character in the movie, too, this character trait of being very courageous and being willing to put his life on the line in his desires to escape the maze and help other people.
With only about 30 seconds here, any caveats for the an audience? Because this is going to be aimed at kids and teens. Any caveats with that respect with that 30 seconds here?
Not so much for kids because, you know, there's some kind of, like those grievers, the big, if you got any arachnophobic issues, like, if you don't like spiders, don't look at that. There's also some very intense claustrophobic moments in it, too. You know, for kind of teens, that would be okay, like early teens and stuff, but like small kids, I think it would be too intense for them.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie, The Maze Runner, and all the reviews of the movies that he's done for us here at Issues, etc., at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd. We're going to be talking about church planting. It's a good thing. In fact, there was a day, and we'll hear a little bit about this on the other side of the break. There was a day when Lutherans in America, in particular the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, was planting multiple churches every day. Now it's about one a week, I think, if my memory serves me well. Well, look, it's a great way. Some churches just grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and some decide to multiply, to plant new churches, to kind of sow the seed farther from home. So it's a good thing. That doesn't mean every way of going about it is the right way of doing it. That doesn't mean that the church can simply decide how it's going to plant churches based upon a business model or however the pastor wants to do it. We'll talk about church planting with Pastor Steve Shave on the other side of the break, and then to round off today's program, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.